This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
And welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Pretty uneven week, if you ask me, guys. Actually, it was completely even. It was 2-2. Two wins, two losses. So completely wrong what I said, but hey.
Statistically, it was even.
Play-wise, the way they're playing, no. A little bit of a different thing to talk about here. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm good. I got to talk about it. Last night, the Caps and Penguins, I said how important this game was. And boom, the Caps come out, beat these guys 7-1. Holy moly. I mean, what a win for these guys. Did anyone on this team not score against the Penguins? Good Lord.
Orpik probably didn't.
Well, that, yeah. But the Caps came out swinging, like I said last week. This was such an important game for the Capitals. So important. I think they took the two games right before that one off. But hey, you lose to Columbus and Carolina. You got something to prove against the Pittsburgh Penguins, I guess.
Yeah, that game against – I didn't see the Carolina game, but apparently I didn't miss anything. Apparently the players also didn't see that game. And there was, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that did not record a point in the game against the Penguins. One of them, surprisingly, was Evgeny Kuznetsov.
He's been having a pretty bad season so far.
Kuznetsov didn't get a point. Neither did Sanford, Eller, Wilson. No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Hold on. Connolly, Eller, Wilson, Sanford, Kuznetsov. Yeah. They didn't get a point against the Penguins. But yeah, the game against Carolina was garbage. The game against Columbus was garbage, and I found it interesting that after the game against Columbus, everyone was talking about, oh, this team can't score, they're struggling to score, what's going on? Is it a lack of focus? Is it they're not doing the little things the right way or the way they should be doing them? Is it the lineup and how, you know, Trotz was just kind of throwing poop at a wall and you know, trying to hope for the best and seeing what sticks? And I don't even know that's a phrase. And it didn't really work against Columbus, and as happy as you want it to be about Beagle being on that top line, Brandon.
I knew it was coming. I knew it.
It didn't do anything. It didn't help them. And we saw that in the game against the Penguins because they reverted back to having their top six being the top six guys, and that worked out way better. And now we have a top line looking of Johansson, Backstrom, and Oshie that is lighting it up. I mean, Backstrom had 5 points. He had 2 goals and 3 assists in that game. Oshie had 2 and 2. And Johansson had – he only had 1 assist, but he was everywhere. And so I think that line is phenomenal. And then you've got Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, and Ovechkin. Burakovsky had an assist. Ovechkin had – he had his goal. And we talked about Kuznetsov didn't have any points, unfortunately. And his faceoff percentage could go up a little bit. That'd be nice. He only had 30% last night, but, it seems like they got a lot of production out of that first line, and that's definitely what you want to see.
Yeah. It's been a little weird this season because the guys that are supposed to be scoring, you know, haven't been scoring and they haven't been doing their jobs. But we're seeing that more often now that, that Barry Trotz is going to mix up the lines and see what he can get, and, you know, throwing everything into a blender, hoping for the best. I'm starting to wonder, like, I like what he does there because I don't want the guys to get too comfortable, you know, being on the same line with somebody and just kind of counting on that other player to do their job. I want everyone to do their job specifically, but maybe that type of switch up isn't the best thing for the Caps, but it's weird. At the same time, so, like, I see what Barry Trotz has been doing. He moved Jay Beagle up to that first line because Jay Beagle has had a great couple games. I mean, he's done absolutely wonderful in the last, like, 2 weeks or so. He's gotten crazy amounts of goals. He's got heart. He's one of the hardest working guys. I want to say the hardest working guy on the team. So you want to reward him. You want him to be like, hey, you know, we can count on you. So you've done well. We're going to move you up to the top line. But maybe that's not a reward if you're trying to roll four lines. You know what I mean? Like, if Beagle's doing well on the fourth line and you want that fourth line to be strong, why move him around? Why not just keep him where he's strong and doing well? Like, I don't know. Maybe he wants him to get challenged a little bit more. I don't know. I feel as if, like, if you want to roll three or four lines deep, that's how you win a Stanley Cup. Then maybe you don't bump up a fourth line guy to the first line guy and hurt his chances of doing what he's been doing well already.
I understand Trotz's point moving the lines around because he wanted to find something that was working because what they were doing clearly didn't work in Carolina and he wanted to send a message. But I feel like that wasn't – it didn't work in the end and ended up costing them a potential an additional point in Columbus. And they were almost able to sneak away with one there with both points. You're right to an extent. Beagle has done very well. I mean, over the past four games, him and Oshie have been dominant on the PK, and they've got two shorties. And getting two shorthanded goals in four games is phenomenal. So for him to be playing as well as he is for the team, I mean, he's tied with Kuznetsov in points. Both of them have 7 points in 16 games. Kuznetsov only got two goals. Beagle's actually got more goals than he does. Backstrom's currently leading the team in points. He's got 15, though 11 of those are assists. Johansson's got 7 and 6. Oshie's 8 and 4. Ovechkin 8 and 4. So it seems like if they can start playing like they did against the Penguins on most nights, then this team will be okay. But the thing we talked about before, I think last week, was that the team wasn't really beating any of these teams that are really good. Like, they're beating up on the lesser talent, but they weren't beating up the guys that – and I don't mean that physically, that'd be mean, but they weren't beating the guys that they should be, the teams that are good and they're going to see in the playoffs. And we almost saw a reverse of that this past week. We saw them struggle and lose to two teams that aren't nearly as good as them. And then they're able to go out and beat the Blackhawks and the defending champion Penguins. And so this team is still sort of not finding themselves, but they're still struggling a little bit and getting their confidence up. And it will be nice to see when they sort of settle down and settle into a rhythm. And I don't think we've seen that yet. I don't think we've seen this team settle into a rhythm and know what they want to play. And they were talking to, after the game, Pierre McDouchebag was talking to, was it Oshie? After the game against the Pens, I believe it was Oshie.
Only take so much of that broadcast team. I like, the second the game was over, I was like, I'm done listening
to
you.
I don't mind Emmerich. The other guys I don't like. But I think he was talking to Oshie, and he's asking him something about the team identity, and Oshie couldn't answer the question. And sometimes it's like, what's your team identity kind of thing. But I also find interesting that the team, I don't think they necessarily know what type of team they want to be. They want to be a team that's fast, but they also are going to hit you and score a lot of goals. But I feel like that's sort of the general definition of what every team wants to be to some extent. And so I'd like to see this team play with a little bit more urgency. I don't think we saw that at the start of the season in the first month, and I want to start seeing more and more of that now.
This team wanted that win. They wanted that win.
Oh, yeah. They wanted that real bad.
And like I said last week, like, if they can get that Penguin off their back from last year, maybe we can get things turned around here. I think those two games in Carolina and Columbus was just for the sheer fact that they were looking past those teams, which can get you in a lot of trouble. Don't get me wrong. That is not a good thing to do. But I'm going to chalk those two losses and those really pitiful losses up to them going, we have Pittsburgh on Wednesday. That's who we want to beat. That's who we're going to see in the playoffs. And I think they were looking past those two teams, thinking that these games aren't a big deal. We'll get those wins later, because it is such a long season. It's 82 games. You know, it's hard to stay focused on every single game. I think they were looking past them, which is not a good thing to do. Hopefully, they don't do that again. But this was a huge win, a huge confidence booster for everybody. Like I said, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, I am a little bit worried about him because he has had an off season so far. He hasn't been doing well. He was a top 10 goal scorer last year, and he's not doing what he did last year on this team. I don't know. Again, hopefully after this Pittsburgh game, things have been turned around, but he worries me. I'm worried that, like, last year is still getting to him, and he's not who he once was.
I'm not concerned yet. I'll take 7 and 16 to start the season with the way they've been switching up the lineups and everything. I'm not concerned yet. Let's let him get settled. It seems like last night, you would have expected him to get a couple more points last night, but the kid's making moves. He's not afraid to shoot. He's not afraid to make a move to get the puck around. I think this team is still struggling to sort of identify what their best lineup is, and I think once they settle in, then he's going to be okay.
Now, the Penguins and the Capitals, they were mouthing off to each other all day. I don't know if you saw the tweet that Pittsburgh put out there about raising banners, about the Caps raising theirs and Pittsburgh raising theirs. And then the Capitals tweeted back to the Pittsburgh, says, you know, we've been champions longer than you because we're not Pittsburgh. And then last night, I don't know if you saw this or not, but after Ovechkin scored the number six goal.
I just saw this.
The Capitals played the Penguins goal song, which that's got to be like that. That's so dirty, but I love it.
That's pretty funny.
I love it. I think that is friggin' hilarious that they would play that after the Penguins did so poorly. But this is a big rivalry. You know, this is Caps Penguins. It still sells tickets every single game. It's still a big deal. Let me ask you another big thing that happened this game is that we saw Ovi leave the ice for a while. He landed awkwardly on his hand. It looked like potentially a wrist injury. He went down the tunnel, but he did come back and finish the game. Have you heard anything different since the end of the game? The fact that he came back, even though he's a hockey player and he's tough, I still think that's a good sign.
I read earlier that people were thinking it might have been his left wrist or his right wrist, but I think it was just he sort of fell hard on it. It felt a little funny. He figured he would get it checked out, but I think he's okay in the end. I don't think we have any, knock on wood, anything to be concerned about at the moment. I think everything's okay, but it seemed like they were more just sort of checking to make sure he's okay. There's no need, you know, it's still relatively early in the season. There's no need for him to be pushing himself. They were up by, you know, a pretty good amount by that point. So there's no need for him to worry about, you know, having to stay out there. There's no need to worry about an injury. Let's just get him back, get him checked out, make sure everything's okay.
Now, the Columbus game, that was not a fun one to watch. That was
boring.
That was exactly up until the third period with 2 minutes left. That game was almost you could fall asleep to that game. God, that was such a bad game. But do you think the Caps, given the fact that they're going to see Columbus in just a couple days, do you think they're going to want to get that win back and potentially show that, yeah, you know, maybe Columbus isn't as good as we made them look, made them out to look?
No, I fully expect them to come out flying in that one. I think they're going to want to. Is that a home game? That's an away game.
That's a home game.
It's a home game. Yeah. I definitely expect them to come out flying in that one and want to get that win, get those points back. I think they embarrassed themselves a little bit in the way they played. Not as bad as against Carolina, but they didn't play as well as they should be playing. And so I fully expect them to come out hard and try and get that one back because they definitely did embarrass themselves and play pathetic. Not as bad as, like I said, Carolina, but they definitely did not play as well as they should have played or as well as they can play. And they owe themselves and Philip Grubauer an opportunity to play the way they should be playing because they kind of hung him out to dry in two games. Now, they didn't give him the goal support that he deserves. I mean, you got to think as a goalie, and they talk about this from a pitcher in baseball as well, that when you have in baseball run support, you pitch differently. Not just only the specific pitches you're throwing, but your mentality and the way you're going. And you have to imagine that Holpe last night, when he's got a 4-5 and then 6-goal lead, you're mentally a little more relaxed and you're a little more able to get into the groove and not harp on the little things that you're doing wrong. Like you make one mistake in a 1-1 game and you're like, great, that's cost my team points. But in that, you're able to relax a little bit and, you know, you stay focused, but you're not getting on yourself for little things. You're not getting your head out of the game because you're not focusing or you're trying to focus on other things. And so I think in the end that they're definitely going to want to come out and get that game back against Columbus and fight hard.
Do you think we might?
I expect them to come out firing.
Do you think we might see Grubauer in that game again in between the pipes?
I have to look at the schedule to answer that question, to be honest. I have to see. What does the schedule look like?
It's a Friday, Sunday, and then Wednesday for games.
And which one is the Columbus one?
Sunday.
Friday, maybe. I expect to see Holpe. Yeah, I think Holpe plays. He could play all three, if they wanted to give Grubauer one, I think they give Grubauer the Columbus game.
And if I notice from Grubauer's Instagram account, his family's in town in D.C. He was doing a little sightseeing, so maybe they potentially give him a game just to kind of show off in front of his parents. I mean, that goes into it, too.
I mean, yeah, they could do that, too, I guess. That's fine if they wanted to do something nice like that.
I mean, yeah, those kind of factors go into the team and everything. So I was impressed with the two games with the Blackhawks and the Penguins, definitely. I got scared. I was telling people yesterday at work, I don't know what's going to happen with this team, the way they played in Carolina and Columbus. They got some sort of funk that they're in. I don't know what it is. But, man, after that Penguins game, if they can play like that the rest of the year – I mean, maybe not to that intensity because
I'll take a 7-1 win. You score a touchdown on the defending champions. You're doing a good job.
Yeah. So what did you think about Malkin last night? Malkin had one of the weirdest games I've ever seen him have. He looked disjointed. He looked out of whack. Something was going wrong in his head. I don't know if he's got some personal problems going on off the ice, but man,
I think Matt Murray owes him money.
He was not focused. He tried,
"You're not paying my money. I'm going to take you out."
Yeah, that was really bad. Matt Murray never returned to the game, right? It was all Fleury after that.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, he was on the bench, but he never actually played again after that. Yeah, I mean, Murray must have pissed him off because he not only knocked Murray's helmet off, but then whacked him in the head with his stick. And I was like, great, Alzner. First of all, let's talk about Alzner's shot on that one. Terrible. But not this way. Alzner's not known for his offensive capabilities, though I do like that he was jumping in the rush. I just wish the shot was a little better. But, you know, he stuck with it, and he probably shouldn't have given Murray. I mean, the puck was, I guess, moving around a little bit, and so he thought maybe he could knock it free. Malkin did the right thing and, you know, took – he wasn't happy with Alzner for doing that. And then things got interesting from there. But I guess, you know, they were talking about – on the broadcast after the game, they were talking about how that loss was on head coach Mike Johnston, whatever the hell his name is. Mike Sullivan. Johnston was the guy that got fired. And they were saying that he did not prepare that team to play the Capitals last night. And the Caps definitely were prepared because they came out and whooped them.
Yeah, big time. So big factor on that whooping from last night from the last game was Nick Backstrom. Had one of the best games of the season for him personally so far. We haven't seen him scoring that much this year. We haven't seen him taking shots that much this year, but he definitely showed off he still got it in the last game. What do you think it's been about this season with Nick Backstrom? What changed as far as Nick Backstrom did this last game?
Well, I think lately it's because he's shooting more. I mean, he's actually putting the puck on net. The last couple of games, he started to shoot more, and we've seen him.
But why wasn't he doing that? Was it line mates? Was it him not? Was he lacking a little bit of confidence?
When you're on a line with Ovechkin, you feed him the puck.
Right.
Like, yeah. Where's eight? Well, there he is. Here, take this. I think to some extent that's that. And he's always had coaches that have said, shoot the puck, Nick. You can do it too. It doesn't have to be just one guy. But he's a center. I think he's a playmaker, and that's his style. And he likes to draw attention in and then make a move to move the puck to somebody else. And he does shoot. It's not like, you know, Backstrom never takes a shot. But it's definitely more his style to set someone else up than to score a goal himself. And so I think to see him play the way he's been playing these last couple of games is definitely what you want to see from him. You want to see him take shots and score more goals.
Absolutely. So anything else we should cover in Caps world?
How about the mic going out last night when Caleb Green was going to sing the national anthem and the fantastic display by the Capitals fans in singing the anthem themselves? I actually thought that was very cool.
That was cool. When it was a lot better than, you know, the mic going out and people either booing or screaming or something like that.
No, we're not in Philly.
Right. So everyone joined in, sang the national anthem. We don't see signs of unity like that very often anymore. So that was a very, very nice thing to see. And it's great to see the Caps fans coming together and doing that. And there were some Pens fans in there, too. They were singing along as well. So, I mean, you know.
Ah, screw those guys.
It was good to see that.
Just kidding. Yeah, no, it was great to see everybody come together and sort of bail out the audio guys when the mic crapped out.
Always check the batteries in those things before you give it to the guy singing.
If the Joker taught us anything, it's double check the batteries before you go to blow up a hospital. Other thing I want to bring up, and this is purely a thought that came to my head, but I was reading that Daniel Winnick's PK time has gone down, and he's been a healthy scratch on a couple of occasions. I'm calling it now, but I believe that Winnick will be traded before the deadline, at the deadline.
I like Winnick. I don't want to see him traded.
I think he's gone at the deadline, or if not before. What was that website you told me about where you can look at salary cap stuff again?
Caps Finder? Friendly? Cap Friendly? Cap something?
Is it Cap Friendly? I think his contract's up after the season, but let me double check.
I'm calling it now.
I think he's gone by the deadline, and they bring in someone of a similar stature. He's a free agent after the season. They have him through the end of the season with a cap of 2.25. I think he's gone by the deadline. They bring in someone else who's a little younger and certainly cheaper, if not bring in someone from the minors to take his spot. If he's going to continually be if he's going to be a healthy scratch rotating on, every couple of nights, every couple of games, I think they move him out.
I don't understand why he is sitting for the last couple games. I understand you want to give Samford and Connolly some playing time as well, but I kind of feel as if I've seen more from Winnick than I have from Samford and Connolly, especially this season. I mean, he had a double goal game to start off the season not too long ago.
Yeah, but he hasn't scored since. He's got 1 point.
Well, he's got a play to do that.
That's true. I mean, he's got more points than Connolly and Samford combined, because both Samford and Connolly have one each. However, perhaps what the coaching staff is seeing is not just their offensive production, but what they're doing off the puck and how they're setting up others. And what you're looking from these guys is also the extra things like PK time on the PK time and other mid little things. And maybe the coaching staff right now just feels like the team is playing better and getting more opportunities with Samford and Connolly in the lineup than Winnick. And this could all change. I mean, like I said earlier, it's only a month and a half into the season, so we still have time for things to change. But I'm guessing now that we will see Winnick dealt before the deadline.
Well, I would be bummed out just because his he's got some awesome bulldogs, and also his wife is really hot. So I would hate to see them leave town. But I bet you Burakovsky.
Yeah, I like the idea. I like Winnick. Right. I think we overpaid to get him. But
you had to get rid of that Brooks-like salary somehow.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to give up Carrick necessarily. Even though I probably said I like the deal at the time, but I still would have liked to have kept Carrick. Yeah, that's my guess. Is that, do you have a player you think will not be on this roster come the deadline? In March, February, March, whatever it is.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you move this team around. The only two guys that are kind of question marks to me right now are Samford and Connolly, just for the sheer fact that they're
And Winnick, because Winnick's the one sitting in the press box.
I would think I would keep Winnick over those two right now. I know I'm crazy for saying that, but Samford is just a young guy. He hasn't really proved himself yet. I still think he's going to get shipped down to the minors at some point. You know, we had Liam O'Brien up here until past Thanksgiving 2 seasons ago, so there's still a chance that we see Samford head to Hershey. I don't know if he has to go through waivers or not, but I'm not positive. But I'm sure they're cheaper than Daniel Winnick, so, I mean, if they are trying to get rid of somebody, I guess you could go that route, but I don't know. I don't know. I kind of see this team staying, barring injury, and they need to pick somebody up due to an injury. I don't know if they're going to really trade anybody. I think next year, whether they win a Stanley Cup or not, this team is going to look drastically different. I think there's going to be
drastically.
Big time drastically.
Oshie's back. I think Williams
gone. Oshie's gone after this season.
What makes you say that?
Because he's expensive, and they are going to throw a whole ton of money at Kuznetsov.
Oshie is already going to. Oh, that's true. Oshii is, well, all right, so look at this. Oshii's already got a cap hit of 4.175. So he, if he goes up, I can't think it's going to be any more than 6.5. So you're looking at trying to find another $2 million, which you find when you get rid of Justin Williams because his cap hit is 3.25. So you take some of Williams' money and give it to Oshii. Kuznetsov's cap hit is already 3. If they raise him up to 6 or even Backstrom's level of 6.7, you need to free up another $1.5 million, which you do by getting rid of Winnick, who also is an unrestricted free agent. So what you do is you take the money from those two guys, spread them out between Oshii and Kuznetsov, you keep both of them, and you have to promote some young guys to being more long to being more prominent roles on in the bottom six, while also giving someone an opportunity to play in the top six. Actually, you don't, because Williams is playing in the bottom six right now, so that won't matter either. You're just asking for more production from guys that are already on the roster, like Sanford or Connolly, potentially even Beagle. I mean, you got to find money to re-sign Burakovsky there too, but even that probably won't be higher than $3 million. There's going to be money they're going to need to find, and if they can find a way to move out from Orpik, that could help a considerable amount. You also got to re-sign Carl Alsner. That's going to be expensive. You got to re-sign Orlov. That one may actually, I wouldn't be surprised if they necessarily were to move him and sign someone. Or even Nate Schmidt doesn't come back. I don't think it's going to be drastic, but I do think it's going to be – there's going to be some differences, definitely some differences. But then also, are they going to potentially now have room for Jacob or Jakob or whatever, Vrana?
Yeah, he's coming up. Oshii's leaving.
Are you – no, settle down.
Yep, that's what
I'm telling you. Are you going to need to find room for Travis Boyd? Are you going to need to find room for Chandler – don't forget Chandler Stevenson, Riley Barber maybe at 22, 23 will be ready to come up. Nathan Walker could potentially fill in your bottom six. I don't think Liam O'Brien is necessarily going to be that guy. But they've got guys in the minors that could potentially step up into a bottom six role that you can that are going to be cheap that you will then, you know, by getting rid of Williams and Winnick, freeze up your cap or freeze up some cap money to then pay those guys.
All right, well, we'll see what happens next year, but Oshii, I think, is good as gone. I think Vrana comes up, takes
his spot. I think you're delusional. I think there's no way he made that move to get Oshii without the intention of hanging on to him.
Too expensive. Too expensive when you got Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Kuznetsov they're just going to throw money at. I think you also probably lose Orlov.
I'm going to find a way to make it happen. How do you do it on this?
I think Orlov goes to Vegas. It's Orlov or Grubauer. One of the two is going to Vegas. I don't know which one's going, but one of them is going. I mean, I don't know what happened, but that hey, this is a show for after we hoist the Stanley Cup to talk about in April and May. That's
I want to figure out how to make it work. Is there a way to do that thing on this website?
I don't know.
Oh God, I don't know. I figured it out. What the? Okay, I'll figure it out later.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. There's a way.
Defenseman probably goes away, and then Taylor Chorney will get into being, you know, one of the main guys instead of the side guy. But we'll,
if they can, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get out of Orpik's contract and sign someone of a similar style.
So for slow less, and old?
Okay, see, that's just mean.
Oh, man. All right, so what else we got to talk about in Caps World?
Unnecessary. That's pretty much it.
All right. So that's it. We will go down on the farm and talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
In the past week, the Hershey Bears went 1-2-1 with a win over Utica. If you want to take a short-ish drive up to Hershey to see the Bears, they'll be playing back-to-back games at the Giants Center starting on Friday against Syracuse and Saturday against Wilkes-Barre, with the following Wednesday's home game also being against Wilkes-Barre. So the Caps playing the Pens and whooping them by a touchdown minus the extra point. Bears will be taking on the baby Pens over the next week a couple of times. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with both wins being over Orlando. They play three times before next week, and just like the last three games, they're all against the same team. The ECHL schedule is weird. They will begin a three-game homestand against Colorado, starting with the first game tonight, that being Thursday, with the second and third game being Saturday and Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
I want to point out that in the Wednesday night game against Utica, Nathan Walker scores two goals, which is pretty cool.
Oh.
So I think, again, proven that he's going to be a Capital one of these days. He's getting closer.
He's got the chance. It's just skill set, I suppose. It's just a matter of putting it all together.
What position is he?
He's a winger.
So if Williams leaves, potentially Nathan Walker could take his spot. Potentially. I don't know if he's a left or right winger. No.
Who? Williams?
Williams.
Walker is going to be a fourth line guy. Williams is third line. I think Wilson. Oh, who knows what Trotz is going to do with the lineup?
Yeah.
Never mind. No one knows what he's going to do with the lineup.
This is next year's problems. Future what the puckers are going to worry about those. All right, guys. So that's it. Yeah, come on.
That was weird sounding.
All right, guys, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now we're going to go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. I wonder if the NHL is going to talk about how amazing and wonderful the Penguins are after they lost on Wednesday night rivalry night on national TV in prime time. Because during that game, you know, the Penguins could still do no wrong. They were beating themselves. The Capitals were just there kind of hanging out. That's what they said. So that is pretty much it for what I'm saying. Who's been concussed? Who's been suspended? Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
You always assume the worst.
Someone has been suspended.
The odds are in the favor of that happening. Yeah, I guess that's definitely true. But no, I don't think we have any suspensions as far as this past week. But we don't normally do injury news, but we'll start in Tampa, as the Lightning Steven Stamkos will be out of reported 4 to 6 months he has a tear on his lateral meniscus. This dude cannot stay healthy.
Yeah, wasn't he hurt half of the season last year?
He missed. I think he came back for the end of their playoff run. Is that even true? When they got knocked out in the, I want to say, Eastern Conference Finals by the Penguins. But yeah, he's out 4 to 6 months. So Tampa scrambling may need to make a big trade to bring in a goal scorer. Ottawa goalie Craig Anderson has a pretty cool mask he's going to be using. When the sides get heated, images will appear. One of them is of longtime Senators goalie Patrick Laine, while another part of his mask will show Marvin the Martian, who apparently was a staple of the Laine's mask. So I actually thought that was pretty cool.
What would be a staple of your mask if you were a goalie?
Oh, that's a good question. The TARDIS, maybe?
The TARDIS?
On one side, and the Arsenal logo, or I'm just like looking around my office. Oh, dude, the Guy Fawkes mask from V for Vendetta. No, that would be cool. The Serenity, a Batman logo. I don't know. I could have so many things. I'd have so many different masks with different things. What would you have?
I think it'd be cool to do like a Joker face, you know, like maybe
that'd
have
be
like
nice.
The red smile at the bottom of the chin. Maybe on the back you have Lucille from The Walking Dead. I would like a WWE Championship belt on the back of my mask. You know, I think that'd be kind of cool. Just the big WWE logo, if they would allow it. Maybe some wrestlers: Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan. You know, before he was a racist.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, Tommy Dreamer, Raven, those guys. Bunch of wrestlers. Or zombified wrestlers. That would be cool. Who was it in Philly who had zombie ex-presidents? I remember that mask. That was pretty cool. It had, like, Ben Franklin and other people all zombified.
What was his name? He's a crazy dude who went after Holpe. Oh my God, I'm totally blanking on his name.
Oh, right, yeah, now. I know who you're talking about. It doesn't matter his name, but other Flyers goalie, poor Michael Neuwirth. Dude cannot stay healthy again. He's out for a couple weeks with a groin injury.
Yeah, he's having a little rough.
That is why he will always be a backup. Can't stay healthy.
He's starter in Philly right now, isn't he?
He was. It's probably not anymore.
Until he got hurt, that's true. Arizona's Oliver Ekman Larson was fined $2,000 for diving / embellishment after getting called for it during a game against New Jersey on October 25th and November 3rd against Nashville. So he's a cheater, and he got in trouble for it. Speaking of Arizona, they will soon have a new home arena as the team announced plans for a 16,000-seat stadium with an attached 4,000-seat multi-sport facility in Tempe, Arizona. Now, I know they've had some issues in the past in regards to the location of the stadium and their ability to draw fans in. So I guess for all the Coyotes fans out there in Arizona, the hope is that this new stadium, and I'm guessing the location, should be able to bring in fans so that they can actually become a viable and legitimate NHL franchise. No offense to your buddy.
To Glenn, who was on the show last year. What did you say? a 4,000-seat
multi-sport facility that will be attached.
So what does that mean? Like, they're looking for like arena football or something?
They'll have other stuff there. I don't know.
They're going to put in a pool underneath the ice? Let the ice melt and they become a swimming place? I don't know. Phelps is out in Arizona now.
What's he doing out there?
So he lives there now with his baby and wife.
Way to stay, buddy. Way to hang out in the area. Way to show solidarity.
All right, what else we got going on?
We got one more thing. As the Simpsons episode on December 11th will guest star hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, becoming the first hockey player to lend his voice to the show. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Really? The first one?
He is the they've had plenty of athletes before, but he will become the first hockey player to be on The Simpsons in their, 30 years? Is it now The Simpsons
that's
have been on?
That's insane that's the first time they've had a hockey player in 30 years.
That's insane that Simpsons have been on for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But, that's the news for the past week in the NHL.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
I don't even care. I'm trying to find out how to make this stupid thing work so I can prove you wrong about the team next year, and I can't figure out how to do it. God, I can create a team. But screw it. You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoach. And you can also occasionally, if I ever get around to it, writing some new stuff over to CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, did we talk about the Ovechkin bobblehead?
We did not. Before? We did not.
Let's do that now. They have this new thing. I want it so bad because it's actually pretty cool. It is not only an Ovechkin bobblehead. Let's see if it actually has a picture up on CapitalsOutsider.com. You head on over there, you click bobbleheads at the top of the page, and they've got it listed. In the holiday pack, you can buy. It's got Ovechkin. He's got his one knee up, looking like he's going to celebrate, though you think the face, he'd be a little happier. His hair is even a little grayed. I feel like that's a little harsh, but whatever. But underneath the part where it's normally just a little stand, it has a career points counter. So you can keep track of the career points as Ovechkin is close. I believe he's closing in on 1,000.
He's pretty close.
Let me double check that what his number is at, but I believe he's coming up on 1,000 in his NHL career. So you can actually keep track of him as he goes. He's at 978 points according to the Capitals website. So he's coming up on 1,000. In order to get this, I believe you have to buy their holiday pack, which is like two tickets to two Capitals games of your choice. You get the commemorative Alex Ovechkin career points counter bobblehead, one per two game purchase, and the orders must be received by December 15th for guaranteed delivery by December 22nd. Prices start at $98, but that's two games, so that's $49 a ticket. I'm good at math. But I want this thing so bad, I might just do that. I'm going to get seating preference, VIP. Lost your damn mind. That'll be $40 billion.
That's where I want to sit.
But, yeah, that's where I want to sit. It ain't going to freaking happen. But that would be nice. But yeah, that's somehow going back. Just find that information. If you can't find it on the Caps website, which I couldn't earlier, go to CapitalsOutsider.com. Go to their bobbleheads. The top one of the page right now is the Alex Ovechkin holiday pack. Right below that's the Braden Holtby one, which was the one that was voted to win, which fans will get. Braden, did you buy the two-game thing where you get tickets to the game when they give out
nope.
the Holtby bobblehead?
Nope, nope.
Ah, you choked, man.
I went to the StubHub and paid $7 instead.
Ooh, that's still not bad. You get the Orlov one you're looking at from the Innova Blood Drive. There's the Chris Borg Gnome. That was from last season for the Bears. They've got all sorts of – they had the Monumental Rewards one, had a Burakovsky one that looks kind of creepy. But, yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brandon Cash Entertainment?
Will do. I got to say, this Alex Ovechkin bobblehead looks actually like Alex Ovechkin, which is not something that the Caps are really known for, having their bobbleheads look like the player. They have, like, a four-foot bobblehead. I think Ovi was seen leaving Kettler with last year, and Ovi put out an Instagram video, him or his wife did, last weekend, where they were having a Russian dance party, and that's actually like sitting in the middle of his bar, this 4 foot Ovi bobblehead in Ovi's house. So I mean,
of course it is.
Dude's got a shrine to himself, but hey, he's one of the best ever, so I don't care. All right, go over to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, as well as on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Like us, follow us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Of course, you can download the show for free at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest, Instagram and Vine, not Vine, because it's dead. Reddit.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Reddit, Snapchat, Pokemon Go, whatever you're feeling. Let people know, hey, you know what? Thanksgiving's coming up. At least here in the U.S. In Canada, you guys had it last month. But Thanksgiving's coming up for us United Statesers. And, you know, why don't you tell people, hey, you're thankful. You're thankful for What the Puck and the Capitals. That's easy. That's all you got to say. All right, guys, until we talk again, listen, like I said, the Thanksgiving holiday is coming up next week. So we're not positive we're going to be doing a show next week. It all depends on, you know,
We're going to try.
We've got, you know, family stuff and everything. So I'm going to give you the rundown until the beginning of December. Wow, it's kind of crazy to think about that. It's like two weeks away.
Crap.
But anyway, so on November 18th, the Capitals are up against Detroit in D.C. You can watch that game on Comcast Sportsnet. It starts at 7 o'clock. Then on Sunday, November 20th, the Capitals are up against Columbus against the Blue Jackets. Early Sunday afternoon game at 12:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. What are you thinking going up against football like that? Because the Ravens play at 1. That's going to be really rough to...
No one cares, Brandon.
Flip back and forth. Because it's the Cowboys. Cowboys and Ravens. It's going to be a good game.
Oh, will you please win?
I am hoping.
ESPN can shut the hell up about Dak, whatever the hell, Prescott and Elliott.
I keep wanting to say Dak Shepard, but he's from Punk'd and he's married to Kristen Bell.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
He's from Punk'd. It's so old.
I'm old. I don't care. All right, so on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, all you crazy drunks are going to be out at the bar. While you're there, watch the Capitals against the St. Louis Blues. That game is in D.C. Man, they're staying in D.C. for a while. That game's at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Here in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving on November 24th. Then on Black Friday, you're getting up at 3 in the morning to go get yourself a $200 60-inch HD TV.
Hell no!
But
no, I am not.
You take yourself a nap, and then you get up at 5 o'clock, and you watch the Caps against the Buffalo Sabres. That game is at 7, or no, I'm sorry, that game is at 5 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Get yourself some leftover turkey, sit down and watch the Caps take on Buffalo. They always take on Buffalo the night after Thanksgiving, because that was the last game they played before Boudreaux got the boot, because it was like 6 or 7 AHLers, and they still lost. Then on November 26th, the Capitals are in Toronto. 7 o'clock against the Maple Leafs. That will be on the NHL Network locally, Comcast Sportsnet Plus. First time they're going to see Austin Matthews this season, so that'll be kind of interesting.
Hopefully he doesn't do as well as he did the first time everybody saw him.
That's right. And then we will be back next week before, or the week after that, if we don't have a show during Thanksgiving week, hopefully before the Caps are up against the Islanders on December 1st. So hopefully we'll be back November 29th. Or 30th, we'll talk again. So stay tuned to our Facebook page. I think Coach Dan or I, we might do some like game reviews or something on Facebook Live, since we can't do a show next week potentially. But maybe we'll do that so we can still have a conversation with you guys throughout the next couple games. Wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Plenty of hockey to enjoy while us in the U.S. will be eating plenty of turkey and stuffing. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Oh, that's a good one. the whole thing? The sweet potatoes are pretty. Oh, mashed potatoes and gravy.
That's phenomenal. It's a good one.
That is fantastic. Oh man, I'm totally blanking on what this is called. That's awkward. What is it called? That's unfortunate timing. Well, I botched this bit.
Are you thinking a dessert? Are you thinking a side dish?
No. Oh no, dessert pumpkin pie. Next. anyone else has anything else, you're wrong, but thanks for playing.
People say pecan pie a lot. That's more of like a Christmas a Christmas pie to me.
What's this button do? Damn it. Brandon, I can't find this thing. I'm gonna prove you wrong one of these days about the roster.
You never will. Never will. Goodbye.
I will if it'll let me.
Goodbye, Oshi. It's been fun.
No, shut up. It's not happening.
I gotta say
yeah, what's your favorite?
I love stuffing.
Stuffing. I don't like stuffing.
I'm a stuffing guy. Stuffing, you know, I do the with the turkey. A lot of people put oysters in it, which I like every once in a while. It's okay. But turkey, stuffing, make a sandwich out of that, then some pumpkin pie. That's I dig that. I really like that stuff. So that is pretty much it. It's perfect timing because I'm about to do my next show because Josh is calling me right now. All right. So that is pretty much it for the show.
Hi, Josh.
That's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. If you're in the U.S. and celebrating, happy Thanksgiving. If you celebrated Thanksgiving last month in Canada, happy Thanksgiving a month late. Everyone else, have a good Thursday, whatever you're doing that day. All right, guys, that's it. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.